Alexandria 88.1.
Get ready, get ready, and get ready. Don't touch that dial. Welcome to New Life Ministries broadcast. I'm Pastor Gregory Tenney of the Second Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church of Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust you will enjoy today's broadcast.
Welcome to G Smooth City, where you're a citizen, with your host, Pastor G Smooth Denny.
Hello to all of you on this day. For truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. I want to thank you for tuning in to this broadcast, and I want to thank you for your support. For truly, my brothers and sisters, we cannot make it without each other. And we should always try our best to support one another. And when we support one another, we show that godliness, that Christ-like in us when we give each other support. I want to also say to you that you should make sure that you are abiding by the CDC rules and guidelines. My brothers and sisters, it is very important that you social distance, you wear your mask, you sanitize, and you stay your distance, because it is very important in these trying days. This COVID-19 pandemic, it's out there, and it's running very rampant in our cities and in our neighborhoods, and we should always protect ourselves. And we want to just pray. We also want to pray for those who are less fortunate. We want to pray for those who have been dealing with this COVID-19 and have it has impacted their bodies and their lives, and we pray that God will deliver them from whatever he needs to deliver them from. For truly, God is a good God. And we should always know that he's a God that supplies our every need. I just want to speak with you today, just briefly, on the subject letting me out. We should always know, my brothers and sisters, we should always ask God to let us out. And if we look at the scripture there in Exodus 3, third chapter, 7th through 9th verse, it says, "The Lord says, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard their crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey." My brothers and sisters, I want to just talk just for a few moments on the subject of let me out. Let me out. And in this passage of scripture, there are three main points that are important in this message. Number one, the promise. God promised never to leave us and never to leave us alone. Secondly, the problem. We as a people refuse to serve God, and that's a problem. And thirdly, the provision. You got to know that he made a provision for all of us, because God provides. Now look, the children of Israel was in a situation that had a very serious problem. A problem that only God could handle. And sometimes we must come to the realization of knowing that some problems we just can't handle by ourselves. Some problems could have been avoided. Some problems we just asked for because of our disobedience. Here the children of Israel was in slavery, and they were treated badly by the Egyptians, and their cry to God was heard, and God understood their situation. The children of Israel wanted to be delivered from their slave masters, and God listened to their cry. How many of you know that God listens to your cry, their request, and he delivered them out of the hands of the Egyptians? My brothers and sisters, I'm here as a leader to help, not to hurt, to love, not to hate. In our struggles together, we will come out together. I'm here to seek to God can save those who are struggling, save those who are down and bring them up, save those who are lost, to help them find their way to joy, peace, and happiness, find their way to life that will one day make them heirs to the kingdom of God, to the city of God. My brothers and sisters, I'm talking about a city where the streets are paved with gold. The gates are pearly. But look here. The people of God of God, and because of our disobedience that we've had, God allows things to happen. You got to know, my brothers and sisters, that God has given provision. God has given provision. The problem was that we were disobedient. But there's a provision. The provision is that God has given instructions to his people, his church. God has given his people provision. He has already prepared the way and has stored up everything that is needed in order to survive. All God is asking of you is to keep his covenant and obey his commandment. God also let us know what will happen if we don't obey his commandment. Read Deuteronomy 28:15-20, and it will let you know. My brothers and sisters, it says, I will curse your city, diseases, wipe you out slowly. I will curse your country. In other words, destroy all indices. I will curse your basket and bread bowls, contaminating your food supply. I will curse your children. I will curse your crops. I would even curse the young of your livestock. I will curse the lamb of your flock. I will curse your coming in and going out. You should always keep his commandments and obey his commandments. You ought to be crying out to God, asking him, let me out of this hellish marriage, this relationship. Let me out of this dishonest wage of employment. Let me out of bondage in my life. Let me out of poverty. Let me out of heartache and pain. Let me out of afflictions, trials and tribulations, confusion, messmaking, dishonesty, hard-heartedness. Just let me out of it. And my brothers and sisters, if you know anything about the children of Israel, you know they were in bondage there. They were in captivity. And the Egyptians treated him very badly. But they kept crying out to God. See, and that's what we should do in our everyday life. We should never stop crying out to God. We should always cry out to God for help. Always cry out to God to supply our needs. And when you cry out to God and you seriously mean what you're crying out for, God will answer your prayer. How many of you know that God will answer your prayer? And God is a God that don't just answer it. He supplies all of our needs. You ought to be saying, let me out. Whatever situation you're dealing with, my brothers and sisters, you ought to be saying, let me out. We deal with a lot of things in life. We deal with a lot of turmoil in life. You know, I was speaking with a young man, and the young man was telling me about a situation, and God blessed this young man. And you might know this young man. His name is JoJo Reed. And God, this young man had an encounter with someone who tried to rob him and take advantage of him, and he was shot 7 times, but yet he's still living. And then he has come to have to deal with the legal system that's trying to bombard him and trying to bring things upon him and make cases upon him that's not true. Well, I say to him, I say to you, JoJo Reed, hold on to God's unchanging hand. And look, when people seem as though they're profiling you and they're coming after you, and you're the victim, of a situation, God will take care of it. God never leaves you nor forsake you. And our legal system need to come out of bondage. See, our legal system, we find that it is in bondage at times, because what happens and transpires is that we do things that we shouldn't do in order to build cases on folk that don't deserve it. Yeah, I said it and I said it again. Our young men, our young black men are trying to do some positive things. Those who are trying to do positive things, it seems as though society, the legal system, want to hold them in bondage and profile on them and damage their lives. And let me tell you something, folks, when things come about and you're put in the paper and stuff for things that you did not do, it damages your character. It damages your reputation. It damages your lifestyle. And I challenge us, men of God, to come out and stand up for our people. Stand up for folk who are being taken advantage of. They're being held in captivity. We wonder why a lot of our young folk don't try to do more and try to be better people and try to move forward. It's simply because the system is fighting against them. My brothers and sisters, just as the Egyptians had the children of Israel in slavery, we find ourselves as young black men in captivity as well, in slavery, not so much physically, but we find ourselves in captivity financially and physically. But we just find they're doing it a different way. We ought to be encouraging our young folk. We ought to be trying to allow them to move forward. We ought to be pushing them, not trying to damage them. And it burns me up when I see what's happening, what's going on, and we're right back finding ourselves in captivity. I'm desperately waiting. I will do anything, whatever it takes. You've just heard New Life Ministries of Second Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church of Alexandria, 4800 Smith Avenue. Your love gifts and offerings are greatly appreciated. You can send all donations to 150 Browns Lane, Pineville, Louisiana, 71360. At Second Nazarene, we equip the saints, evangelize the sinner, and enhancing this society as one church ministering hope to four generations through the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next time. Thank you, and may God bless you.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1. encounters with God, real life stories. I was at Bible college one night, and the dean of the college, she had to do chapel that night because everybody else was busy or had emergencies. She started preaching. She said, "The Lord wants me to tell you that your dreary season is over." And then she went on telling us about the dreary season that she had just come out of. You know, all kind of things had happened. Her house had been damaged in two hurricanes. Ice storm damaged her house. And then her brother was murdered. And she says, you know, it's been 6 or 8 months and there's no leads and no confessions, no anything. So they closed the case. Well, at that time, the Holy Spirit said to me, "Whatever is hidden must be revealed. What is in darkness must come to light." And said, "Tell that to her." So she went on, finished her sermon. A couple times throughout the night, I tried to tell her, but just something got in the way. Somebody was talking to her, she was busy, just whatever it was, it didn't happen. I started questioning myself, like, was that really God telling me to say that to her? Or was that me wanting to say something in that situation? So I tried again after class was over. Same thing, she was busy. But I just couldn't let it go. The Lord was just kept pressing it on me. So when I left, I sent her an email. I told her, I said, "You know, I felt like the Lord was telling me to tell you, whatever is hidden must be revealed. What is in darkness must come to light." And I gave her a couple stories that's something that I pray if I lose something, lose my keys, some money, like just about anything, and it never fails, within minutes, sometimes seconds, I find whatever I've lost. So the next week when I went to class, after chapel, she comes up to me, she says, "I have to tell you something." Said, "After you told me that night, I couldn't sleep the rest of the night. Whenever my brother was murdered, that night I had a dream, and that's what I heard in my dream." I was mind blown. Like, that was like, whoa. She said, "That's not it." She said, "The next day, the Lord gave me a scripture to go and read. It was in Psalms. I don't remember the exact scripture." But she said, she went and read it, and it was explaining in detail how her brother had been murdered. It was David talking about how his enemy was chasing him. And I don't remember the rest of the scripture, but step by step, it explained to her how her brother had been murdered. And it gave her just this huge sense of relief to have some answers. And then she said, "But that's not it. The next day, one of the guys that was involved with everything, his friends with her brother, showed up at her sister's house and said, I shouldn't be." Here, it's probably not a good idea that I'm here, but I just felt like I had to tell y'all that I didn't kill your brother and I didn't have anything to do with it, but his girlfriend did." And I was just like, wow. I couldn't wrap my head around what had transpired in that 48 hours. And she said, "You know, that scripture you gave me, I prayed it for a long time after my brother got murdered. But then after some time, it's not that I forgot about it, but I just kind of moved on from it. And the Lord told me to tell her to go back to praying that." And she also said that one of the things she was praying for was for justice, for her brother's murderer to be brought to justice. And when she said that, it was like something stabbed me in the chest. I was like, oh. So again, after I left class that night, I prayed about it. And then the next morning, the Holy Spirit told me that I needed to reach out to her. So I did. And now remember, this is the dean of the college. So I tell her, I said, first off, I let it off like this. I was like, look, please don't take this the wrong way. But I feel like the Lord is telling me that what you're praying for isn't happening because you're not praying for it in His will. It's not His will that they be brought to man's justice. One day, whether it be on earth or after death, that person or those people, they're going to see their day in court. They will see their day in court. But it might not be here. I said, you know, I've hurt a ton of people in my life that I'm no doubt wanted justice for me. Wanted me to receive justice. But what would have happened if I did, if I received that justice that they wanted? If I would have ended up in prison or just whatever they wanted to happen, I wouldn't be sitting right here talking about God today. So I told her, you don't know what God has in store for those people. And that person that killed your brother, they could be the next Billy Graham. But you're praying for justice, man's justice. Right now you're looking for answers. You want to know how it happened and why it happened, where it happened. But if you get that justice, those questions aren't going to be answered. They might be answered, but it's just going to bring up more questions. What if? What if this would have happened? What if this would have happened? It would always be a different question because you're looking to man for that answer. But God is the one that provides that peace. He provides that closure. He provides that justice. Romans 12:19 says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." I will repay. They're going to have that day in court. They're going to have to answer for what they did. It's not up to us to decide their punishment. You know, when we take that into our hands, we try to be God. We're not God. We don't know. His thoughts are high above our thoughts. We don't know what's coming 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. We don't know how many lives that person is going to change. The only thing that we can do and that we should do is pray. Pray for the Holy Spirit to do a good work in their heart. That's it. Like, that's all we can do. It's all we should do. Justice. What is justice? Or the word just is based on or behaving according to what is morally right and fair. Where are we getting? That moral code from? Are we getting it from the world? Or are we getting it from God? Because what God tells us is way, way different than what the world tells us justice is. You know, we're supposed to pray for our enemies, bless those that try to do harm to us, bless them. Nowadays, we see so much of the opposite, just the complete. Not up to us to decide that they can't go and do that because they did me wrong. They hurt me. They hurt my family. Who are you? You're no different than anybody else. You're no special person. Like, God is gonna give them the justice that they deserve. Micah 6:8 says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." To do justly. How do you do justly? You do what is right. But you can't, nowhere in the Bible do you find anything about demanding other people do what is right. You do right. You lead by example. We see a lot now where people are on trial for all kind of different things. And you've got your Monday morning quarterback sitting on the internet. Oh, he should have been guilty. He was guilty. He was guilty. The law says this. He was guilty. Man, it's not for you to decide. You do right. You're not their keeper. You do right. And in doing right, you affect so many things. You affect people's lives. You affect change. You do right. You. I hate politics. I do. I hate it. Because all it is somebody saying, "I'm right." And no, I'm right. No, I'm right. No, I'm right. Nobody's willing to say, "Okay, you're right." Nobody. And nobody's willing to do the right thing. They want to do what they think is right. Nobody wants to do what the Word of God says is right. Because the Word of God doesn't mean anything to a whole lot of people anymore. A big part of that is because we don't do justice. We demand it. We don't demand it of ourselves. Isaiah 1:17 says, "Learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow." Seek justice. Seek righteousness. That's what justice is. Justice is righteousness. God is justice. God is righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God. You know, this week, I challenge you to look at what you're demanding of others, and then look at the fruit that you're producing. Have a blessed week. Thank you.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
I'm Bishop Kenny Townsend, along with my wife,
Lady Mildred Townsend.
And we're inviting you to join us for moments of inspiration.